Jason.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to The Couple That Scares Together. How are you?
Nicole's having a bad day.
We're going to talk about that, but tonight...
She's having a bad day, and she did not want to talk about it, and I urged her to do so, and I'll tell you why.
No, you won't tell me why, but also...
I'll tell the audience why.
That's fine. But he also did not respect my thoughts about not sharing this, so thanks so much. So, we'll get into it. Tonight, we have a super scary episode. We're going to talk about a haunted house tonight. Mm-hmm.
They say, Nicole, that the best medicine is laughter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I suggest that we discuss your hair loss.
What they don't say is laughter at my expense is medicine for you and not me.
It's not at your expense.
Mm-hmm. So I'm struggling just a wee bit because I had COVID, like I'm sure many did. I had a rather nasty bout of it, I would say, over December into January. And part of the reason why we haven't podcasted for a while, to be honest. And I'm still having some lingering effects. I really thought that I was above this. But now I'm having significant hair loss. And people don't know me. But if you do know me, I can be vain. That's one of my, I guess, downfalls. But in particular, I'm very particular about my hair. I don't like people to touch my hair. I am concerned about my hair. I like my hair. And now I am losing it. So I feel it's a little bit like a karma. The universe is saying you need to check yourself or something. I'm going to learn this lesson, whatever this lesson is, because it's a lesson for me. I just don't know what it is yet. And I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah, it might be that I've become... in recent year or so, concerned about the way I look. And I think women everywhere can relate when you have 4 children and you are in your 40s and suddenly you look in the mirror and you're not as youthful as you once were.
Stop it right there.
That's okay. And Jason, like most men, tends to age really well. And I see every wrinkle on my face and I see every flaw. So yes. And so now I have a new flaw, and that is horrible hair loss. And I didn't have a whole lot of hair anyway. It was pretty thin. It's pretty thin. But now it is significantly falling out.
It's not that thin. You get like the impression that like it's significantly thin.
Well, I don't have like a head of hair.
As if it was like a desert with like 2
tumbleweed,
you know, palm trees.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'm going to fake this well. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to keep it classy all the way. And then I'm going to go home in the bathroom and cry like the lady I am. And you can tease me.
Well, listen.
But that's it.
You do that. And what I will do is I will pull the hair out of the shower drain.
You don't ever do that.
And I'll take a picture of it and post it on.
Don't do that. No, but every day, like that's what I do is like clean out the drain. Yeah,
I saw it. I saw it.
It's not fun.
It was a clump of hair.
We'll figure it out. If you have any homeopathic remedies, I am using one. I probably will go visit a dermatologist. If you know any spells or anything else, I'm not even kidding, or any kind of good vibes you could send my way in which we can somehow rescue my hair, that'd be great.
I have a suggestion. It's called a wig. I think you should seriously do that. I'm not kidding.
It might come to that. I'm not sure.
There's no shame in that.
I get that. There's for a number of reasons. That's not what I want my go-to to be. It's hot. It's itchy. It's not. No. If I have to wear it, I will, but I don't want to.
We can get you one made out of like premium fox hair or you know,
thanks.
Like an otter, something like.
See, this is what I'm talking about. It's mocking at my expense. Well, thanks.
Chimpanzee hair?
Mm-hmm. Even better. Thank you so much.
Or is it fur? I'm not sure.
No, it's neither, and that's not even funny. Okay. All right. It's not funny.
Wait a second. Hold on. This is important to note.
Mm-hmm.
That she did receive some good news in that her hair will grow back in about 6 months.
If I continue with this hair loss for 6 months, I will be completely bald. So that is not good news.
It's going to grow back, though. There's like a lot of men all around the world who have no hair.
Okay, that's it. We're done. We're done with this conversation. Anyway, so that's how my week's been. Pretty busy. Pretty frantic, right? But other than that, pretty good. So I'm excited about tonight's story. Are you excited?
Something you look forward to.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I really hope that I get through tonight's story and I don't get physically ill because I want to be honest. This has been a challenge for me and I have no idea why. It's pretty strange.
Because your hair's falling out.
No. But every time I started to do research on this particular topic, which I've wanted to do, I would get sick and feel kind of very sick to my stomach. It's happened several times. I tried to change the topic several times, but keep circling back to this one story. So I'm probably meant to share this with you all tonight. And I just want to put that out there. So also, we're going to talk about a few things that are urban legends or perhaps folk tales. I just want to mention, because somebody wrote to me and asked me a question, but I just want to mention that I consider myself and I consider Jason and I storytellers, and that our job is to entertain, to not validate or research evidence in general, just be present with people's stories. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And so tonight, we're going to talk about a very, very scary haunted house. It's called the most haunted house in America, or certainly the most haunted house in Kansas, and that is the Sally House. And away we go.
And away we go.
It's been called not only the most haunted house in Kansas, but the entire country. Built in the mid-1800s in the growing community of Atchison, Kansas, is the home of 508 North 2nd Street. It's seen its fair share of owners, and we're going to talk about them through the years, including a family of, if you believe the story to be true, a six-year-old girl named Sally, who died in the home during perhaps a botched surgery. It wasn't until the mid-1990s when Sally's story first gained both local and national attention, when then-owners Tony and Deborah Pickman lived in the home and began noticing strange occurrences, including attacks on Tony, unexplained voices, and apparent burnt finger marks upon the mysterious burning candles. After extensive investigations conducted by both the Kansas Paranormal Group, it was discovered that Sally wasn't the only ghost haunting the home, but a middle-aged woman as well, who said to be responsible for the more frightening attacks. So I don't know if you remember this, Jason, but I remember one of my very, very favorite shows was Sightings.
Mm-hmm, I remember it.
Okay. So this house, the Sally House, was featured on one of their shows. And I believe it was the Heartland Ghost episode. I'm looking through my notes here.
Yeah, it's been featured all over the place.
It has. But this was a pretty famous show. A&E, Travel Network, Ghost Hunters, the Discovery Channel, Sci-Fi, everybody has been to this house. But it was the Sightings episode that really did it for me. So in 1996, Sightings, this show that if you love the paranormal, you probably watched growing up like we did, contacted the Pickmans with interest about their paranormal claims. They spent many months, and they brought all kinds of investigators, psychic, people that were professionals in the business back then. The show was not able to make any conclusive findings, and the case was left open. But there are many people that worked on that show that were freaked out. They were very, and things happened to the crew that really gave them some validation for those
trepidation.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, what I love, the show that I really enjoyed as a kid, especially.
What?
I mean, without a doubt, it's Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, well, of course.
Robert Stack.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the man. Like, when I was a kid.
Our Labrador's doing
it's
something.
It's our dogs in the bathroom.
Oh, we hear something. Hark, what is that? Is it heavy breathing? Is it a ghost? No, no, no. It's two giant dogs panting and getting into stuff that they shouldn't. But hey, this is what really happens when we film.
Oh, he's got your underwear.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That's exactly what I want to tape with.
Yep.
Okay.
So Robert Stack. Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't have your underwear. The dog did.
I hope not. The home was originally constructed by the Finneys. Michael Finney purchased the home and lived there with his family until his death. We know this to be true. And he died in the residence in 1872. And there has been many residents and several documented deaths that have occurred in the home throughout the home's history. So Michael Finney dies in 1872 there. Edwin Finney in 1874, William True in 1918, and Agnes Finney True in 1939. So already we know that there are recorded deaths, okay?
Yeah, but I mean, that's not that unusual. People die in homes, especially during that time. That's
sure.
It's not like it's that odd. Like, oh, these people lived here, they were a family, and they gradually passed on.
Right.
That in itself is not unusual.
No, it's not. But when a home tends to have more than I would, you know, a death, certainly, but more than a death, and have all that residual energy, you know what? It's not unlikely. Or, I mean, you know what I mean? It's pretty likely that I might have some sort of paranormal experiences, right? We know that.
Possibly.
Okay. So the name the Sally House came to be from the story, if you believe this to be true, in which a six-year-old girl named Sally, and there's a couple different variations of the story. One is she was suffering from an acute appendicitis and was brought to the house because this was the local doctor, Charles Finney. He was a doctor. He resided and practiced in this home. And it's said that in the doctor's haste, he failed to fully anesthetize the young girl, and she woke up during the surgery in terrible pain and horror and then died from shock.
Oh, no, that's malpractice.
Yeah. Okay, so that's one variation of the story, all right? That variation of the story was documented in the TV show A Haunting about the Sally House.
Okay? Oh, that's another great show.
Yes. It's a very scary.
Yeah.
They also presented an alternative storyline, and that is that the owner was a doctor who had an affair with an African-American housemaid, resulting in the birth of a child, a girl named Sally. When she was around 6 or 7, she became ill, and it was determined that she needed to have her appendix taken out, but the doctor didn't want anybody to know about Sally, so he refused to take her to the hospital, and she died. Her mother was very angry and attacked the doctor, resulting in her death. The doctor moved away, and Sally and her mother remained as spirits in the house.
He solved all his problems.
So we keep putting layers onto this story. That doesn't sound feasible to me for a couple different reasons, but whatever.
I mean, you know, I don't know.
I'll tell you at the end what I think is going on. Okay, all right. I mean, well, you can take it with a grain of salt, but that's
maybe it was hair loss that killed her. We don't know.
The hair loss might kill me. So the story goes, the mother is still grieving for her child, and she attacks the visitors. But Sally is a happy ghost and tries to play with the children that move in. No families stay very long due to the vicious attacks. Usually, they're directed at adult males. The subject, perhaps, of the doctor, and it's suspected perhaps he buried the bodies of Sally and her mother somewhere on the premise or in the basement. That's never been proven. Lots of people go visit this house, right? So on the website, you can go visit during the day. You can also spend the night if you're feeling really adventurous. When people go there, they report things like scratches, seeing some sort of like the curtains look like they're on fire.
It's probably mice.
People take photos and they'll have images show up. Now, what people say they've seen Sally, though, they picture a little blonde girl, so not somebody of African-American descent, so whatever. That's neither here nor there, but just something to say. But hundreds of people visit this house every year. It's not currently occupied, but it's available. You can go tour and have an overnight tour. So if we're ever in Kansas, for tours. Oh, yeah, you can stay overnight.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You have to sign a waiver. So that if there's any potential personal injury, they're not liable for it. Mm-hmm. No real serious injuries have been reported since 1993 when the last tenants moved out, the Pickmans.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
All right, but we do know for sure that this house was the residence of the doctor, the Atkinson physician. The front served as an office space and had examination rooms, and the doctor and the family lived upstairs. So that's what we know. That's all we know. So, and then did a little girl arrive? Lots of stories say the little girl arrived. There was no time to give her anesthesia, so they had to just do surgery without it, mm-hmm. believing it, you know, her appendix would burst. And somehow there's some sort of storyline in which the anesthesia is the problem.
Without anesthesia, they just had to open her up? That seems like really unlikely.
Well, back then, anesthesia was such chloroform.
A couple shots.
I mean, it would have been chloroform at that point. That's right. True. I mean, that, by the way, there was very little. I was reading a little bit about, I like to read a little about medical practices, especially years gone by. It's mm-hmm. frightening. You probably shouldn't do it. But in particular, any time then childbirth and things like that, there was nothing to like relieve pain or take the edge off. I mean, they had some homeopathic things. They had, but chloroform, they would like knock you out.
Just a reminder,
By chloroform?
Sure. No, not chloroform. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm thinking about taking you out by that means. But
okay.
We should mention our new feature called What We're Reading, I guess is what we're going to call it.
Like
our book of the week that we're going to talk about.
Oh, okay. We need to name the segment.
Maybe we should have named it first.
Maybe we should have discussed this. Be right in the middle of the segment.
Let's call it Scary Book of the Week.
Does it have to be scary?
No, it can be anything.
All right. We'll think of something clever.
Right.
Okay.
And by we, you mean me.
I'm sure. And then you'll change you. And then you'll change it three times, and then we don't remember what it was to begin with.
No, Scary Sidebar is Scary Sidebar still.
Okay.
It's
all right.
What it's been.
So let's go back to where this began. So remember I said I love the sighting show. So the couple, the Pickmans, all right? That's where this all really began, the modern day haunting. So in 1993, this young couple, newly married, moves into this house, all right? The first thing they notice, one of the first things, is their dogs seem to growl at nothing, especially up inside what would become the nursery. And so for a long time, they say when they moved in, that's about all that would happen, all right? It wasn't until they had their first child that the events started to really ramp up. And then things very quickly began to take a violent turn, okay? They noticed fires broke out in the house, like just like a series of like, oh, kind of what happened? How did that start? Perhaps they had electrical trouble. They had things checked out. And then they would find out there was nothing there. It grows into a more sinister attacks on the husband. But they would feel cold spots in the house. Objects would move. And this was particularly true of like stuffed animals. So one most notable event is they go into the nursery and the stuffed animals are on the floor all in a circle, or they're all facing a different direction than what they left it, or out of the crib or something. That seems particularly concerning, and especially when you're a new mom, that kind of is concerning, right? Yes.
Definitely, it's very scary. I would agree.
Okay, so at this time, the couple is then kind of divided because things start to happen to the husband that don't happen to Mrs. Pickman or the baby, right? The husband seems the one that gets scratches on his chest or abdomen. He feels like this oppressive presence, mm-hmm. where the mom feels like, okay, well, maybe this is just a friendly ghost, right?
It's probably just his wife.
Doing what?
No, like, that's the presence that's oppressing him.
Oh, stop it. So she reaches out to a friend of a friend who has a psychic connection or something. And the psychic says, you don't have to worry. There's a little girl in this house. Her name is Sally. All right. And she means you no harm. She just is looking for a mother figure. And that's why she's connecting with you. And she just needs some connection, and that she doesn't like men.
Yeah,
and that's why
that.
She doesn't like men. Well, first of all, if anybody tells you like, hey, there's a friendly ghost and you should just connect with them, I would be very leery.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, don't worry. It's just a friendly ghost named Sally and it's a little girl. So you shouldn't worry about it.
Right.
No.
Correct. Yeah. I would be very suspicious of that. And remember, I think other people think as well, things present as one thing that are maybe aren't. Right? So,
sure.
And I am very protective of my physical space, of my, my space. So I don't want anything in my space that I don't know or want. So nice ghost, bad ghost, doesn't matter. You're not going to stay here. Like, we're going to say move on.
That's what you think.
Well, no, I know because I am going to do that. Well,
that's where she lives, I guess.
All right. So this is a story that's kind of not new to this family where a couple is divided between their experiences, right? So very quickly it becomes that it takes a sinister turn, and the husband is experiencing the vicious attacks, and right, and he's becoming concerned. So the mom, Mrs. Pickman, contacts that psychic connection again and says, hey, listen, but now we're having some concerns. And the psychic says, well, it's not Sally, but there's another presence in the home, and it's an older woman. And she's the one that's given your husband problems. So Mr. Pickman one day comes home from work and he goes into the kitchen, and there he sees, he reports that he saw Sally, this like little girl, a presence of this little girl. But then quickly after that, he sees an older woman. And that's what they believe is inflicting, I guess, the scratches and the harmful stuff. Either way, it doesn't sound good, right? So they...
Definitely bad.
Yeah, definitely bad. And again, the baby isn't the focus, but this nursery seems to be a hot spot in the house and still is, I guess.
Could it have been her old bedroom or, part of the house
sure.
that was important to her potentially?
If you're going off the presence or the premise yes. that this is just like a ghost living in the house, then sure. Okay. Yes. Okay. I don't necessarily think that's probably true. If you go there, people say that that they can catch things on video, that your investigative equipment will stop working. Batteries that are once full immediately and completely drain. They can experience moving objects. You get unexplained scratches, bruising on their bodies. Mm-hmm. They feel physical touches, mysterious cold spots. Then another thing that I read was even like trained guide dogs refuse to enter the nursery. Listen, trust your dog.
What?
So, I know.
Really?
Yeah, that's odd.
No, that's a good reason to stay the hell out of there.
It is. If only because that's the purpose of a service dog, yeah, is to alert you of danger. And if they don't think you should go in there either, you probably should listen to this.
For sure.
Many psychics have come to visit this place, and they have confirmed the presence of spirits dwelling in the home. Some have actually communicated with them. I bet it gets a lot of traffic. Some people that have claimed to be skeptics have left as believers. And so you can find a ton of things on, YouTube that you can find EVPs and, clips and people sharing their own personal photos. It definitely is a mystery. But like I said, the son, and his name was Taylor Pickman, never experienced any of the same sort of vicious attacks that his father did.
The baby, you mean?
Yeah. They finally fled in terror. They'd had enough. They had enough. It was just a series of things that were unfolded that was too much. If you want to read about this in particular, I would recommend a book by Deborah Pickman. She wrote a book about the real, it was called The Sally House Haunting, A True Story by Deborah Pickman. I read that, and it does detail some of the theories that kind of haven't been fully investigated, or some have tried to investigate, and talked about kind of the escalation of events. So that's the Sally House. You can read about how their story unfolds in that story.
What I would like to see or to know, more about, I want to see some pictures of it, get a feel for kind of what it's all about, what it looks like, where it's located. And if we are out that way, I would very much like to stop in and check it out.
Well, I'm very much frightened by that. And I don't know if you've ever heard me say that. I don't know why this house in particular feels icky to me.
It's not just this house. It's like it's a few places that we've been to. It's the
there's a couple places that I don't want to be.
Wait a second. It's the place in Gettysburg.
I don't want to go into the Jenny Wade house.
Yeah, the Jenny Wade house bothers you. Which
it bothers me.
Definitely go to that. We're thinking about going there.
Yeah.
Like maybe over the summer or
I don't want to go into the children's orphanage there.
I'm going. I am going.
Okay, you can go.
I'll
yeah, there are a few places that make me scared or that's make great. Me just feel leery. And it doesn't even have to do with I have gone into asylums before and I would go back to asylums. I have gone into prisons before and, those are terrifying. I've gone into dark places. It's not that. It's just some houses or some locations, for whatever reason, my spidey sense says no thank you, and this is one house that says no thank you. I happen to believe, and I have not been there, so, oh my gosh, don't write to me and tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about because I haven't been there. You're probably right, but I don't think it's probably just ghosts. I think then when you talk about things that are so manipulative and violent and like tearing a family apart by pretending to be protective over the child, but then scratching the husband and that sort of duality, I think you're talking about something that's much darker.
First of all, I would say go ahead and write to her. We encourage all emails, whether they be positive or negative.
That's fine.
We absolutely appreciate your feedback. So
right, but you are right. I've never been here, so perhaps I would change my mind. But I'm not going to go in. I'm not going there. You can go in, Jason, and you can investigate this. But don't bring anything back to me. I'm going to have to sage you in the parking lot.
That's
because
fine.
I want no part of this particular house. This one gives me the creep, and I'll tell you why. I listened on YouTube.
You just did.
Well, I'll tell you an additional why. I listened on, there's a lot of EVPs and a lot of audio that you can listen on YouTube. There's one in particular, and it sounds gnarly.
Okay.
And it's a few seconds. There's static, and then there's clearly something that like raises the prickles on the back of my neck.
Yeah, I understand.
And I said, no, thank you. I'm not ever listening to this again. So in this in particular, I like to stay in the light, even though I like scary stuff. And I will grab all my crystals and I will sage myself and I will say, no, thank you.
So speaking of couples divided, we are at a crossroads here.
This is a terrible segue. Where are you going?
No, this is a great segue. Right. As you know, guys, many of you, we have posted pictures of us as well as our dogs. And, you know, we've got two dogs. One is a chocolate lab. His name is Charlie. And the other dog is a bloodhound named Moose. And they are both about a year and a half old. Well, my wife, the reason that I mentioned this is because we just took them to the vet today.
You can refer to me as canine handler at Ritter.
I will not refer to you as that.
I am.
So, my wife,
Nicole.
Nicole wants to have our dogs castrated.
Okay, that's very dramatic. How about neutered? That's the term.
Whatever the term
used
is.
In she modern veterinary
balls,
medicine.
Their testicles snipped away from
I
their body.
I am considering it.
And I'm saying, no thank you.
Okay.
I don't see, there's no medical need for it, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
As you know, I am a doctor as well as a teacher.
You're not.
I am one of those things, but not the other. I just don't think it's a big deal. Like I did. Well, no, that's not true.
It's a big
deal. I think
deal.
It is a big deal to me, and I don't think that it needs to be done. I think that you know they have these organs for a reason.
Oh my!
I just don't want them removed from our dogs.
You know, I really appreciate you advocating for your friends, and they love you very much. I also think that maybe you're making a personal connection to this.
No.
And
no.
And I don't think it's necessary. I wanted very much to let them become fully mature and have their hormones become fully mature. And they're, you know, 18 months. I'm not doing it now. I'm in the near future, perhaps. I have a couple concerns that neutering might address. One is we have two very angsty.
They're not aggressive at all.
They're not. Did I say the word aggressive?
Yeah, you're about to.
No.
You're leading that in that direction.
Please. You're
First
I object.
First of all, if you could see the faces of these dogs, they are so cute. I love them more than my children
they will
and
come
wife.
Home.
Let's be honest. Okay.
They're
the
coming
fact
home.
The matter is I want to breed the dogs. Not me personally, but
no.
I would like, you know, to breed the dogs.
It's at this point that I'm going to tell you we don't have breeding rights to either one of them at this point.
But we could get them.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, here's where we are.
Here's where we are. I have some reasons. They're angsty kind of juveniles. They're the same age. And I want to make sure that they are focused and have all their hormones and before we do this and that they've completed all their search certifications. But then I have a bloodhound who his nose gets him into trouble. And one of those things is if he is distracted by somebody in heat, it's an issue.
No, I don't think it's...
That's one issue.
Disagree, and I would like to get some feedback
from
people out there in the audience as far as what they think. If you know anything about
neutering animals,
breeding dogs, or some of these considerations, please reach out to me personally, not to my wife, because she doesn't want to hear it. But that
what if
I
they
know
send
I'm
you,
right.
What if they send things called neutering is healthy, and they send you a bunch of research?
I'd say that's hogwash.
You're going to just reject it all anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Of course I will.
It doesn't matter. I am saying I'm considering it because I want to make sure that I'm doing being the best dog mommy I can. And so
by removing a part of their body, would you take out their tongue?
Oh, what in the
would
world?
You?
If they didn't
would
need,
you snip their tongue?
If they didn't need their tongue, I would.
Would you lop off one of their ears?
At this point, I think I'm thinking about lopping off one of your ears or your tongue. Mm-hmm.
I just...
Okay.
Not
well,
a fan.
We're going to talk about it, and that's...
Okay. Book... This is our newest segment called Book of the Week.
So tell me about what you're reading.
I forgot. No, I'm no. reading, let's see, a few things. I'm reading a book called The Prestige by Christopher Priest.
Uh-huh.
The book was actually turned into a screenplay and then later a movie.
Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
This is a very old, I mean, this is not new. Okay.
I didn't say it was new. You said,
it's new to you.
What am I reading right now? So
okay.
Like, I'm reading a few things.
Mm-hmm.
I am reading The Prestige by Christopher Priest.
Love it.
I am reading Fahrenheit 451 by
school.
Ray Bradbury.
Right. Love Ray Bradbury.
Just about finished with that. I recently read some short stories by Kurt Vonnegut.
Mm-hmm.
I read a great nonfiction book called Life on the Mississippi by a very, he's an obscure author. You maybe you heard of him, maybe not. His name is Mark Twain.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Life on the Mississippi. So that's
nice.
What I read recently. The Prestige. Twain is outstanding. Twain is Twain. Bradbury is, you know, pretty interesting too, although he's very different for, you know, those of you who know his work.
Oh my gosh.
And then,
is this segment supposed to be in which it's like the,
what is it, boring?
Yeah. Is it the one?
Is it boring?
Yeah, it's like...
All right,
it's
that's
like,
what I'm reading. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like...
maybe it's
Leslie
not,
Knope when she went to the station.
Yeah, no, I should stop
and then
I'll
the
talk
men,
forever. No, I'm sorry. I'll talk forever
the men
about this.
Just talked about that on public radio. That's what we just did.
All right, well, I'll just talk forever about it so I get to stop.
Okay, so you want to hear what I'm reading? So I'm
yeah,
reading
whatever.
John Wayne Casey, Defending a Monster.
Yes.
You're welcome. I just started that.
John Wayne Casey and Mark Twain.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm also reading a book called, I'm rereading a book called What the Dog Knows, which is a wonderful dog about working dog. A wonderful
That's
book
nonfiction.
About working dogs. Both are. We all are. And my final book is This Is How Your Marriage Ends. That's the book called. That's what the book is
Who
called.
Who the hell wants to read that?
Well, I'm reading all three. So that's what I'm reading.
All right. Well, I mean, well... Listen, this
when
little
I'm finished
segment here is the work
with the book
progress.
About John Wayne Gacy, Defending a Monster,
yeah.
I will share that with everybody because you know I'm obsessed with finding out what happened to him.
Hold on a second. So, both ends of the spectrum here. You're talking about several books.
Yes.
On one end, you have
a serial killer.
A serial killer. On
yes.
the other end, you mentioned another book about the
dog
end
stuff.
Of one's marriage. Never
right.
mind the
self-help.
Dog book.
I'd like to put that in self-help category.
Okay.
Okay.
Are the two sort of...
perhaps.
Are they interrelated?
They could be at some point. Sure. I think it's a small leap from if your marriage ends to becoming a serial killer. I'm not sure. But
no, I'm saying, is that the reason that your marriage ends?
Just let
that's
me just tell
I'm,
you.
That's what I'm getting at.
No. I like to read about serial killers in order to relax and sort of forget the world. So
what
that's...
I'm saying is, are you planning on killing me? Is
and
I'm
saying,
asking
perhaps.
You.
Perhaps, and if I do, I need to know how not to get caught. Forensics. Well, you know the reason I love to read about serial killers. I mean, I'm fascinated by them. But in particular, John Wayne Gacy, because, you know, he said that he was just one cog in his system.
Yeah.
And that there was more than one assailant, and there was like this ring, and that it goes really far down, you know, far deep. He thought there was some sort of conspiracy surrounding the murders, that he didn't commit all of them, or that he was committing them with other people. And, you know, he was already going to go to death row. And they're notorious liars, serial killers. We got
that. That's great. Mark Twain writes about his entire life in and around the Mississippi River.
Right. So back to John Wayne Gacy. No, but I'm fascinated. So I think that we're going to need to do an episode on him.
That's fine. On him. We can.
Because what is scarier than that man dressed as a clown?
There's
nothing.
Nothing as scary as real life.
Right. And has a grown man dressed as a clown.
Nothing is
who
scary.
Do you know he intentionally did that makeup to be frightening?
No. You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah. But no, he was getting...
He intended to be frightening?
No, but it's not in his daily life he didn't.
I know, but this was like an alter ego. So, of course, he's going to, you know, he's going to dress up like a scary
clown. I don't know
clown.
Why you seem to, like, shocked that I'm shocked.
I'm shocked that you're shocked by that.
Okay, as people were paying him to, and like he was going to events. It was out in the opening.
It's an open. He's hiding in plain sight.
Well, it's not so much plain
ego.
Oh, well, you could have found him out really right on.
No, but I'm saying, yes, he put on ghastly makeup. Of course he did. Because, like, he's playing up that part. He's, like, he's mocking them in a way.
I understand.
He's wearing the scary...
I understand that. But do you know that at the time, not people didn't notice that? You're acting as if everyone knew. He didn't. He was
It makes a lot of
it does.
Sense that he in wears hindsight, scary makeup.
In hindsight, it does.
I'm sure... Back in the, what was it, 60s
he was a
or
very,
70s?
He was a very...
I'm sure there's a lot of parents who are like, no, let's keep our kids away from him because I don't care what, you know, he looks scary to me.
I'm sure there was, but he was a very well-respected man in his community. So, more to come on that topic.
I think
we should do a whole series on serial killers.
All I'm saying is, I'm sure, you know, yes, he's well-respected. I'm sure, you know, like, behind the scenes.
I'm sure people
got
the creeps.
There's a lot of people that are like, hey, he's a little creepy. How about a lot creepy?
Don't quote me on
this. Keep our kids away from him.
I believe he even got a letter from, like, a clown association that said, please stop.
Yeah, like, I've heard that.
Yeah, like, cease and desist.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's so, yeah, there you go.
There's my scary.
John Wayne Gacy.
Do you have a scary sidebar you wanted to share?
Yeah.
He's like, let me prepare.
I mean, no, but that was, no.
Now, I derailed you?
No, not derailed. I, like, you... I'm, like,
what?
Bringing forth all this reason. And
right. Do you think that our listeners want to hear about Mark Twain or John Wayne Gacy?
Not that. I'm talking about the visuals, his makeup and all that stuff. And, you know, it all makes sense. You're like, well, cool, you know.
And for our final scary sidebar, you found something. It's fascinating. But so there's an article called Scientists Reveal... New most dangerous personality type. So there's a new type that they call dark empathy.
Wait a second. It's interesting.
It is interesting because it's narcissism.
If you found that you would have an entire drum roll, prop yourself up, pat yourself on the back.
Well,
and
I didn't.
Say that you
if
found
I it. Invented this, perhaps.
No, if you found it.
Okay. The article.
Yes.
So apparently, dark empathy is classified by dark personality traits such as narcissism that retain high levels of cognitive and affective empathy. I wonder if it's just fake, though. Fake empathy.
I don't know.
Because if you have empathy, that's a real sort of like terrible thing that you can be empathetic to somebody and still an a-hole.
See, that's the thing. Like, that. Based on my understanding that you have the ability,
mm-hmm.
you know, to do
that's
that,
right.
but you choose not to.
Right. Or,
which makes
I always
you
thought they
scarier,
pretended.
Makes you scarier.
Yeah, it because does.
Because you have the ability to, but
and
you sort of shut that off.
Right. Because we always thought like serial killers, they just cannot empathize.
Right. Maybe they can, but maybe they just choose not to.
Because
that's true. It's more interesting that way.
That is. Or maybe they care about a few people. Right? They have empathy
like
towards...
their mother.
Or,
maybe,
you know...
Something like that. Or their dog.
Right. Yes. I have had people that, in my own life that I know that are narcissists that pretend to care or like reiterate that they care or even use their care against me. You know, like if you have people like that where they're like, that's all I did was care about you and you did the following or and you never appreciated how much I worried about you. I'm like, okay, right fine. Now,
I'm not caring about
please
one of our dogs.
Stop wrestling the Labrador.
He's in the way.
Well, he likes to be near me.
No, he's just being annoying right now.
He is also empathetic and an empath, and he absorbs all of my this negative energy. He's my dark lab.
He's a dog.
He's so
he has dark fur. That's true.
That's right. So he absorbs all this negative energy. I know. All he wants to do is be near me. So that's kind of cool. I mean, it's scary,
yeah.
But I think that I wonder if that is another step in like how we're evolving. Is that
that's not evolving. That's devolving.
Well, okay. I mean, I guess that's subjective though, right? That people that are still empathetic but that choose to choose a darker path or that have narcissism. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying perhaps that's the next step.
Devolving, like turning off your humanity, like your ability to relate to other people is not evolution, in my opinion.
Okay, so that alone is a subjective thought, right? I'm talking about just evolving as a part of like a natural spectrum. You don't have to like it, but that's maybe what is becoming devolving. To me implies that we're becoming simpler in nature. We are actually becoming more complex. You just don't like the complexity. We're evolving into a different complexity.
Well, they could be wrong. Who knows?
Maybe. I'm hoping so, right?
That's a story. If you want to find it on your own, the article is called Scientists Reveal New Most Dangerous Personality Type, and this appeared. I found it in the New York Post.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So next week, we'll be back with an even spookier story. No, we have some exciting things coming up. You can reach out to us at The Couple That Scares Together. Follow us wherever you get your... Oh. That's Moose.
One of our dogs.
Moose says goodnight.
By the way, he's happy that he still has his balls.
We hope you have a great week. As always, thank you for spending some time with us. Make sure you do something spooky with the person you love this week.
I'll try and do that.
Okay, goodnight, everyone.
See you.